to Pretty Spectacular Football Show. Of course, Pretty Girl does here with the renowned Dr. Spec, or whatever you want to call himself. You know, every day might be a little bit different. And we have a pretty spectacular show for you guys for today. I like when I do that. I'm going to do my Steve Harvey. We got a good one for you today. He said it every time he on Family Feud. It's like, okay. What's up, Dr. Speck, man? Before we hop into this, like, let me know, how's your week been? I feel like I haven't seen you in the phone.
Yo, week has been great. Just covering everything that's popping off in the NFL world. It's been so much stuff to talk about, and I can't wait to get into it today. I mean, college football, outside of college football, you know, MTNV Sports, we cover everything. And so we've just been looking at a bunch of different stuff. But, man, there's so many football topics today. I can't even wait to hop into the conversation with you.
I bet you can't. But you know who could wait? Them Saints. But, you know, we ain't going to get into that. Okay. So, first topic.
Yo, you get two black quarterbacks and you start acting different. That's why.
And do. Way to diversify. Somebody in the marketing department heard my cry. Like, please. Come
on. When you was with Kenny Pickett, that energy wasn't like it is now. I hear you though. Go ahead.
Had to go. No. So yeah, we have a lot of topics today. We're gonna start off. I thought we was gonna put our topics on the screen, but we're not gonna talk. Actually, I can just say them to you. So first, we're gonna talk about Deion Sanders. Then we're going to hop into some NFL free agency. Then we're going to go into the overrated free agents. You know, I'm going to let you know, he got some overrated free agents that he need to talk about. Trouble in Chicago already. So, you know, that's a thing. If you don't know, you about to know. And then is that our last topic, or do we have something else?
Yeah, that's the last one that we're going to talk about today. But we're going to talk about those four.
Yeah, so we're going to talk on those four main topics. So let's go ahead and get in to our very first one. Deion over high school. Go ahead.
Now you're right. Ready? Here we go.
You know what have been a high draft pick this year? Okay, let's just stop the foolishness and you get mad when I tell you. The only reason I know that because don't you think I know people in the NFL? I'm sorry. I played for how many years? 14. Got a gold jacket at the crib, I think. I think I know some people. You know, the Jerry Jones, Arthur Blank. Yeah, I know some people in the game. Roger Goodell's, you know, I know some people. So when I speak, I'm not just throwing stuff out of my head. I'm throwing stuff based on knowledge. So let's just get that straight. If Shador would have gone in the draft this year, he probably would have been the second. He wouldn't have been the first quarterback off the board. I think he had the ability, but he probably would have been the second quarterback off the board.
Well, did he lie?
Okay. Yeah. I don't think it's a full-fledged lie, right? Like if you really go back to it earlier and we did a whole video on YouTube, right, where you can check out exactly what Mel Kiper said in the beginning of the season. Mel Kiper had Shador Sanders third on his big board, right? That was right behind Drake May and right behind Caleb Williams. Now, the narrative on Drake May has been that he is dropping, right? Almost to the point where J.J. McCarthy may be jumping Drake May. But the person who really jumped Drake May and everybody else has been Jaden Daniels. And so because Daniels has jumped so high up, now he's right behind Caleb Williams. I don't foresee Shador jumping ahead of Jaden. That's my thought right now. However, when you look at Shador and you look at who his mentor is, which is Tom Brady, and you watch how he played this season, right? I mean, I they got so much stuff I can't wait to get into.
It's so crazy. You have the GOAT as your mentor. Like, not only do you have the GOAT as your father, right, the GOAT as your mentor. Like,
right.
Can you be more spoiled?
and not only like
more spoiled.
And it's not just in talk alone, Dad. It's like that's his real.
He practiced with him. Like, I've seen clips and everything. I've seen that he also told him, like, you don't need to be driving that car. You need to be focusing on getting them plays. You know, he kind of dug in his little butt a little bit, which he needed because, you know, he was A1 steak sauce this season? Absolutely not. But his O-line wasn't either. So, you know,
And look, you mentioned his O-line wasn't either. He is the number one sacked quarterback in all of college football this year. He was sacked 52 times, right? The next highest one, and Garrett, only him and Grant Wilson were sacked that many times. Right after them, the next highest one is 44, which was Jalen Milroe, right, at Alabama. And he was probably holding on to the ball too long, you know, because he liked to cook that way. But Shador doesn't, it's not that he doesn't like to play within rhythm. His offensive line was terrible.
Yeah. So I feel like I can't fully gauge that, because like we've seen some really explosive games for him where he was doing really well. He was really explosive out of the pocket, running, strong arm. But then we also seen where he was on the ground. Like majority of the game, he was on the ground, face in the ground, like hurt because he was getting sacked. So I don't know. I feel like I need to see more from him in order for me to be like, oh, he'll be first or second on the right. I feel like he's one of them, and people are gonna be mad at me for saying this, but I feel as though that when you have players that have those father or those famous last names, they automatically are pushed up the roster anyway. So it doesn't really matter. Like, it's not gonna. Will it matter? Yes and no at the same time. So it's like,
I can't say that he's okay. When he first got to Jackson, everybody was saying that he was starting because of his dad, right? Like, oh, your dad got you starting, or your dad got you doing this.
We know that he's not like that, because if he was some booger sugar, he would have been sitting the bench. So we know right. that. But however, we also know that there are players who have famous dads or, you know, loaded last names that they're going to get the hype.
Let me give you this. Luke McCaffrey, right? Who that's a loaded last name right now because of his brother and because of his dad, Ed, right? Luke McCaffrey. He's a fifth round guy. He ain't gonna go no higher than that. The name is good enough. You know, the name will get you, I guess, some recognition a little bit, but it's not gonna push you into that first round like that. Jenkins, right? He's a son of Chris Jenkins, who played for the Panthers. His name ain't gonna push him into the front round. Frank Gore Jr. Frank Gore was a dog. Frank Gore Jr. is in the draft right now. That's how old I am, right? And Frank Gore Jr. is in the draft right now. He probably won't go until the later rounds. And he has the full name, right? Not just the last name. Frank Gore Jr. So I feel like at the end of the day, you won't absolutely get pushed all the way up to the top. Not the first, not the second pick, right? And that's kind of where he's saying Shador will go. Shador, if he were in this draft, he's saying he would go right behind Caleb Williams to the Washington Commanders. And I can't say that that is true, right? I can't say it's true, but at the same time, looking at him play, he did, I think, he ranked 25th in touchdowns this year.
Saying that figuratively and not, like, literally. Like, not for this year. We already know he's not going into the draft this year.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I feel like that was a more of, like, a more figurative thing. Like, you know, you get what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't saying, like, oh, he would definitely be coming off the board and, like, he going to the committee. Like, it wasn't like that. I feel like he was figuratively speaking, like, he's not number one right now. He I know people, and he's not number one, but he ain't number 32.
I play it again. Sound like he said he would have went number two.
All right, that's what it sound like to me. Well, we'll leave that up for debate. I guess Shador got something to prove, because, you know, he did say, I'm trying to be first off the board, which makes sense. Like, of course, you want to be first off the board. Don't everybody want to be first off the board, child.
Shador only threw three interceptions last year. As much as he was pressured, right? As much as, like, he threw the ball, because he threw the ball a lot. He ranked 25th in the nation in passing touchdowns. But he only threw three picks last year. That shows you how well he takes care of the ball. They didn't have no running game, right? So he's being sacked all the time, and he's throwing all the time, and he's throwing a lot of touchdowns. However, only three interceptions. It tells me something about the type of player he is.
Yeah, I mean, but we already knew that he was great.
He's so great.
I mean, we definitely didn't have to question that. I do think that this year, this is what his final year, his actual, like, actual factual last year.
I think it is. I got to go back, because COVID kind of ruined, you know, everything. Yeah, everybody's eligible.
They gave people an extra year or something. I'm not sure. But
people be entering the league at 30.
This, you know what?
Fact,
this will be the year for him to prove himself, and I hope that O-line got it together so he can really show and prove himself. If you want to be number one off the board, you're going to have to prove yourself a little bit more. You know, just that. So
they went out and got the number one offensive tackle in, you know, who was available, right? And he decommitted at one point and then, you know, committed back. So, and now he's walking everywhere with Shador like a bodyguard. Everywhere Shador is, you see the big dude, right? Like, that's what's going on. And hopefully,
that's what needs to happen. Shoot. Yeah. Time you do it. You better give buy him a car. You want to buy him a car? I don't know what to do. Like, you know.
And hopefully it's like that, right? Hopefully he's his personal protector. And if he is, then maybe we'll see some eye-popping numbers from Shador. But if you remember that first game, I think he went through 5 touchdowns. And he was like, I just came from HBCU. I just came here and did the same exact thing. This ain't no different, right? And so, I mean, I'm hoping that the more protection gets him on that type of time.
Yeah, I feel like he'll do it. But as long as he don't – look, just don't become – one of the overrated players that we're going to talk about later on in the show. Okay, so moving on to something a little bit more testy. Free agency losers. They need to take this L and put it on the top of their head like that. Why? Losers. Losers, losers, losers. And since you got Jerry Jones up on the screen first, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys, they are losers. I understand that they may be one of the teams that don't do a lot of free agency moves and such, but they literally lost quite a bit of people. Losing Dan Quinn, and then I feel like they didn't lose their whole defensive line besides besides Micah. So I don't know. I feel like they needed to be adding some people here. Like, you're not going to get everybody from the draft. So I don't know what they're doing. Like, what are you doing, Jerry? Outside of being a baby daddy, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Listen, as I look at it, with the amount of running backs that were available, and they lost their running back, right?
They did. That's what I'm saying. Like, they lost like their whole defensive line.
Yeah.
You know, Dan Quinn took 3 players with him already. Took those 3. You lost your running back.
And he might take Stephen Gilmore too. They've lost Tony Pollard. And I thought Tony Pollard, and I know maybe you thought it too, right? Tony Pollard was going to rise up after Ezekiel Elliott left. I thought Tony Pollard was going to be that dude, right? That's not the case. That didn't pop off like that. So I'm looking at this situation in Dallas, and I'm like, yo, you had a chance to bring in some of the top – Saquon Barkley, you could have been in the market for him. Derrick Henry, you could have been in the market for him. Swift, you could have been in the market for him. You didn't bring in nobody, right? Like, I'm not losing faith completely because they are still stacked, right? You still got Dak. You still got great receivers.
Dak is whack.
No, stop it. Stop it, right? You still got CeeDee Lamb. And honestly, last year, it seemed like all you needed was CeeDee Lamb, right? So you still got CeeDee Lamb. You still got Dak. You still got a lot of great pieces on your defense. So it's not like they're completely done. But with the amount,
we're talking about defense though. Like, defense, they need they defense. Come on, man, you can't get rid of it. They said they're starting over. We starting over the whole defensive line. We're starting over. Everybody gotta go. Dak said y'all made us lose that game at home to the Packers. So everybody got to go besides Micah, because we need somebody to stay. So
Micah Parsons is an absolute dog. But yeah, I feel like I was looking for Dallas to make a splash. Everybody thought they would, right? Now, here's the question. Are they being shrewd? Are they thinking, hey, look, the free agents that are out there are older running backs, right? There were some young running backs out there, so they could have invested there. But maybe they feel like there's a lot of confidence inside the building, and maybe they'll start looking towards the draft in order to rebuild as much as they need to. But they're not the only losers out there. We can talk about some others. But they are at the top of the list because people were expecting them to be in the market for all these, you know, big names that were out there, and they just haven't been. They haven't been active.
They have not. And to put into comparison of why they are losers on this board, they had 16 players go into free agency this season. 16. So, and out of those 16, they lost, you know, probably about all of them. But, you know, they lost Tyron Smith, Tony Pollard. Who else did they lose? I guess Jordan Lewis.
Durant. They lost one of the best names, Tyler Badass.
Yeah, Jyron Kearse, Dante Fuller Jr., Noah. I can't pronounce that last name, baby. That's too much. Jonathan Hankins. I mean, they lost a lot of people, like 60, Neville Gillimore. He's already signed with somebody else. Tyler, Sean, CJ Goodwin, you know, they've lost some really tight talent, some really good talent, and there has been no replacement of it.
But
at least not that we have seen off the free agency standpoint. Do you still have talent in the building? Maybe, but I don't know.
It's hard, right?
You lose the majority of your defensive line and you don't put nobody else in place, and Micah just sat up there by himself, like, help me, Lord. Well,
you had to pay Dak. Like, okay, there's some teams that
you're talking about defense.
Still, you got to pay Dak so you don't have enough money for all these.
Paying Dakota. They shouldn't listen.
What you going to do? You're not going to pay Dak? Give me your plan if you're not paying Dak.
Dak, literally, listen. Dak has a proven record of being trash at the later half of the season. He has gotten them nowhere in the postseason. I swear, it's like once December comes around, it's like, oh, Merry Christmas, hasta la vista, and he'll never come back. Like, he don't ever come back. His performance over the last 2 years, in the later half of the season, has been complete trash.
Here's how reckless you being.
Tell me,
you got a choice between Dak or your man, right? Who you taking?
I ain't got no man right now.
Yes, you do. Russell Wilson. Yeah. you got a choice between Dak or Russell Wilson. Who you taking?
At least Russell Wilson has been to a Super Bowl. At least he's been in the playoffs. He's been there. He's been in the league for 13 years.
This is classic dodging the question.
Dak gets a good case of cold feet. He can't perform. If you can't lead your team, and you've had allegedly the best defensive line, the best offensive line, you've had the best team, the most Super Bowl caliber team. You are the leader of your team, and you can't lead your team to the playoffs and get past the first round. You can't do that. You can't do that.
I'm gonna tell you what I haven't heard yet. A name, Dak or Russ. Who would you take?
At this point, listen, we got a better chance of making the playoffs with Russ than we do with Dak. Dak ain't been in the playoffs. They ain't been further in the playoffs yet. You've seen when's the last time Dallas actually made some shake in the playoffs? We can go back. How many years?
When's the last time Russell Wilson made some shake in the playoffs?
Before Dak Prescott?
It's been a decade. It's been almost a decade.
That's false.
It's been almost a decade.
First of all, he would have took the Broncos to the playoffs had the Broncos had a better. The Broncos hated him, so they probably wasn't. They wasn't giving
him. Him and Sean wasn't going to no playoffs.
Don't be mad because Sean ain't in New Orleans no more. They would have made it to the playoffs.
They wouldn't have made it.
Their team wasn't even as good as Dallas's, and they would have made it to the playoffs. Dallas can't even make it to the playoffs with a stacked top tier team.
Dallas can make it in. They just can't win when they get there. But Dak is a dog during the regular season.
The regular season does not matter if you can't do anything in the playoffs. We literally have seen it year after year. He has done nothing. Joe Flacco came off the couch and got to the playoffs. And what's Dak's excuse? What's Dak's excuse? There is no excuse. Mason Rudolph came from QB3 and got Pittsburgh into the playoffs.
Mason Rudolph and a collection of other quarterbacks.
That should be the Kansas City Chiefs.
They trash. Every name you're mentioning.
I'm like Stephen A. Smith over here. We don't want to hear about them Cowboys because the Cowboys.
Every name you're mentioning, I wouldn't take over Dak. I wouldn't take Russell. Nobody would.
Because you ain't going nowhere. You wouldn't go nowhere. The fact that Joe Flacco came off the couch. Nobody would.
Nobody's taking Dak. Why would you take Joe Flacco over Dak?
Put him on the Saints. Take Dak, put him on the Saints and see how well he does. Because the Saints ain't even as stacked as the Cowboys were, and he won't be able to do nothing with that either.
Man, Jordan Love came in there a fool of that thing at home. I would take Dak Prescott over Carr right now. I take Dak Prescott.
Jordan Love came into his home, but they say don't lose at home. Came to his home and embarrassed that man. I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to hear jack crack nothing. And we can go on and move on to another loser on the free agency, which is the.
I can't believe you coming at Dak like that.
Saints. Your Saints are losers.
No, they're not.
So
look, okay, yeah. Okay. Look, I'm gonna keep it a buck with you, only because I'm this type of dude, right?
Only because you know that the Saints are losing free agency right now. So go ahead and tell me,
ma'am, take your quarterback controversy. Take your quarterback controversy and calm down, yo. Oh, so you got two black quarterbacks. You're feeling great, right?
Y'all just fleeced the Bears. Got Russell and Justin.
Y'all fleeced the Bears, and now you on something different. Y'all fleeced the Bears, now you on something different.
Never praised Dak. Ever have I ever praised that man. Never have I ever, because he is whack.
You don't got to praise that. You don't got to praise him, but you got to recognize.
It don't matter. They should have been to the Super Bowl two times by now, but that explosive team that they had, and you haven't made it, you can't even make it past the first round of the playoff. Get your ones on it. Get out of here.
What are you going to do? Okay, anyway.
Anyway,
they had no other choice. They had no other choice. All right. No other choice.
He had a choice to throw that ball correctly to CeeDee Lamb and didn't. He had a, you know what? We're not going to talk about this. This is going to become the Dallas Cowboys show. And I know the Dallas Cowboys fans, some of them going to hate me, but I know some of them are going to agree with me that Dak is just not the answer. And the fact of the matter is,
nobody will agree with you.
Nobody will agree with you when they have better options in free agency.
Who's that person?
For what? For quarterback? When I'm talking about quarterback,
yes,
for free agency.
At quarterback.
That's not a free agent. He would not be in free agency.
You said, why did they pay Dak? I said they had to pay Dak, right? And they have to pay
Dak. They have to pay that man because they keep their contract.
They didn't have to buy back into this contract this time.
Of course, Jerry Jones is.
But they had
Jerry Jones better has enough baby mama drama right now to even worry about being a baby daddy to Dak. Okay, he got enough going on right now. This is the same way he kept his head coach being very stupid. The same way he kept his head coach. Of course, he's going to keep his quarterback. And allegedly, this is their year to prove themselves. Because if they don't prove themselves, they're getting fired. Like that Long Beach head coach over there for men's basketball. He said, if you can't prove yourself, you're out of here, buddy. You're out of here, buddy. Okay, so I don't want to hear none of that. But what we need to talk about, because I see how you try to pivot back to Dallas when we were talking about them Saints. So let's talk about them losing Saints, okay?
All right, so here's why my Saints are losing in free agency, right? Only because they're not improving the team much. Now, did they go out and get Chase Young? Yes, they did go out and get Chase Young, and I was very happy about it until 2 minutes later when they said his neck broke and we won't see him. Until maybe he won't be in training camp, right? Now, granted, it's not supposed to be one that keeps him out beyond training camp. But at the same time, when you go out and get a guy who's questionable in terms of his effort on the field, right? That was already a caveat I was kind of, taken aback by. We paid him $13 million. Now, it's not guaranteed. They did it a very slick way, right? And so they paid him per game. Per game you show up is how you're going to get this whole $13 million. If you show up for all the game, you'll get these $13 million. If you don't show up for all the games, then you won't. So I think it was very true. You know how we work the cap. Now, because of the way we work the cap, we were not able to go out and make things pop in free agency. We have holes in our team. The Saints have holes. They need another receiver. We're losing Mike Thomas. I mean, we lost him years ago, though. He's been gone, to be honest with you.
But, what? Fact,
is it not true? All right. So we need help there. We're losing other pieces. Like we're losing our cornerbacks. We're losing like our third cornerback. Now, people don't think that's a big deal, but Marshon Lattimore always gets hurt. And he's always gone for an extended period of time. So us losing a cornerback to the Washington Commanders is not a good look for us, right? And so we're missing a lot of pieces and we need help. Our offensive line, our best offensive lineman was Andres Pete at times last year. Now that's bad already. Andres Pete is not great most of the time, but he was our best last season. Andres Pete is on the market right now, going to the Commanders, visiting other places, trying to see where else he might go. We might lose him.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Losing. That's what we're doing. We're losing daily. Every day, the Saints are losing more people, and they're a team that looks like, okay, last year it looks like we were going to sneak in there and win the NFC South, and then Baker Mayfield squashed that crap, right? He was like, no, you're not, right? And so, it's facts.
Baker. So now I was right now. It's like, no, I'm kidding. Go on.
I can't even say that. I think the overhyped guy will be the person who takes it. But anyway, so when we go to the Saints, I'm looking at them like, you know what? You were doing decently. I thought you were kind of being smart with the Chase Young thing. And you are a little bit, but him being hurt, I mean, dang it, it's just like another thing. The only reason he picked us, I believe, is because we would pay him while he's still nursing that neck injury, right? And even in his you know, welcome to the team interview, he was like, they was like, hey, do you have, you know, are you eager to prove something? He's like, I ain't got nothing to prove. You know, I ain't thinking about that. Yes, you do. You have a lot to prove. Like, you were the number two pick overall. and it's your third team in a few years. You ain't got nothing to prove? What are you talking about? You anyway, love you, bro. At the same time. I'm thinking that the Saints are losers. That other losers right there. I don't know if the Bengals are really I can't say they're full losers like the Saints and like the Cowboys right now, but there are other teams that are losing, but those two kind of come to mind like that.
Yeah, the Saints, I mean, I understand what you're saying, and it does kind of give you like if we had to grade it from like A to F, I would say that they're probably at like a D.
Yeah,
a D. Only because of what you just said, like all the people going out, you shouldn't. And I feel like the Saints were kind of going through a rebuilding phase already from last season, so it's like you don't need to lose anymore. You don't need to lose anything right now. You need to work on and build up what you already have. Again, I'm a fan of Chase Young. I love me some Chase Young. Y'all probably didn't see my video about it already. However. That's my main man on the ground, okay? However, I do understand, and it is kind of like a head scratcher, like how I'm scratching my head right now, the fact that he would be signed and he has a neck injury. See, I didn't know that either until he got signed. And I feel like y'all was keeping it in the hole, in the rats. Y'all was keeping it in the secrets. But I don't know. I feel like...
Can I tell you the moment I knew we lost free agency?
Yeah.
When we signed Nathan Peterman.
Who's that?
Right. Nathan Peterman is horrible. I watched this man throw like four picks in like four minutes. Like, I really watched him do that. That man is the worst quarterback I've ever seen in my life. And when I watched him play for other teams, I'd be like, thank God he ain't our problem.
Come here, problem. Come here, problem, child. Let me nurture you. Come here.
I almost cried when they signed that man.
Man, they was better off signing. Who else was out there for free agency?
And we lose Jameis Winston.
Yeah, that surprised me. I didn't think that they were going to. Well, I guess, you know, he can go somewhere and be a starter, but I didn't think that they were going to let him go. But especially with, and again, I love me some Derek Carr too, but Derek Carr has not been superb at all. So they got a lot of question marks. Them in Dallas have some question marks, and Cincinnati, there's lots of question marks there, and I don't understand it. Yeah. I don't understand it. Just the same way I don't understand how some players have made it to other teams and it's been a bust or overrated, as most would say, or
smooth. Or, you know. I see where you're going. I feel you.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I feel like there has been some players that have been off the board that's been really good. Did Odell come off the board yet?
Not yet. So he's not off the board yet. Now he was overrated last year. Yeah, he was an overrated pickup last year. Now, he I ain't gonna lie to you. When I saw them in a club together and I saw them like doing their thing, I'm thinking, yo, Odell.
In the club of who?
Last year, when him and Lamar Jackson were in the club in Miami.
Oh, I'm like, what are we talking about right now? Odell been in the club. Yeah. He has been in the club with Kim.
Yeah. but last year, Odell was probably the most overhyped free agent last year. Right. For sure. And I give you that for sure. For sure.
For sure.
This year, I think the most overhyped one is not the guy on the screen, to be honest with you. I think you got one in the tuck for us. What you got?
First of all, how are you going to say and act like you were going to say it, but then say you don't think is that? You have your overrated, and I think you just talked about him. Maybe because you're just upset with the Saints. I do think that one overrated player is Josh Jacobs going from the Raiders to the Packers. The Packers do not have the Packers have a, you know, pass-heavy offense. Josh Jacobs, he's great in the locker room. He's beloved in the locker room, but he ain't that great on the field. And they paid him what? He got $48 million over 4 years. That's a lot of money for a running back that you better use.
Yep, $48 million over 4 years. Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of a head scratcher. So like, why wouldn't you? What? And maybe they're trying to improve their run game, but he hasn't been as explosive and as brilliant on the field as some other running backs. So I don't know. Maybe they really wanted Saquon and they just couldn't get him. I don't know, Chad. If you paid him $48 million, you definitely could have paid Saquon $48 million.
Just a year before that, Josh led the league in rushing, right? Like he was he's one of those guys at times. Like when he really gets going, he's one of those guys. However, I don't necessarily believe that the person who they lost in Aaron Jones, I don't think they upgraded. I feel like paid for a down. He's a less explosive back than Aaron Jones, right? I'm not saying that he's not great. However, he's a more durable back than Aaron Jones. Aaron is great when he's playing, but sometimes he's not playing. And so because he's on the sideline or because he's out most of the time, right? You got to go and get somebody who you can rely on and avail. They always say it, your best ability is your availability, and Josh Jacobs is normally available. And so they probably paid for that or bought into that and made that investment. And for 48, it's not horrible, right? But I feel like maybe I think they're going to get their money's worth from him.
It better. I mean, but like I can't judge a person like his 2022. Yeah, sure. It says 2022 led the NFL with 1,643 yards. Okay, yeah. But what about 23? We can't go off for two years later. We need 23. And like I said, the Packers
had quarterback play last year.
The Packers have a more, your quarterback is going to throw. It says Jordan Love threw 32 touchdown passes in 2023. So why would you not lock in on somebody like a wide receiver? Why would you not lock in on somebody else? Like, you need to double down on his strengths. Work with your quarterback's strengths. That's what your offense has been. Your offense tore up Dallas off of that. I get you may need a back, and you did lose really big with getting rid of Aaron Jones, but you got, I'm assuming part of the reason why you are getting rid of him is because you don't really need him, or you didn't use him, or whatever the reason was, because your offensive game was not that. So the fact that you didn't replace him with another, that doesn't make sense to me. So to me, that's an overrated free agent. In my opinion, whether people agree or not, that's my opinion. You ain't gotta like it.
I thought you were going, and here's where I thought you were headed. I thought you were headed here because it would validate the conversation we had earlier. Okay. The number one overrated free agent acquisition this year for me is Kirk Cousins. Him?
Oh. Kirk O'Chains.
Now
he was on my list too.
But yeah, and the reason he's so overhyped is, now Kirk has been great in doing what Dak has been great in doing, is get you to the dance, right? Like, he'll disappear, right? He's not the guy who will take you all the way, to the promised land. However, for Atlanta, him taking them, and this is almost, okay, him taking them to the dance
is like,
is good enough. You've been here, right? Like, you've been to Atlanta. People here will be so happy, right? Like, people here will celebrate him like he owns this town. He will own this city.
He will own Atlanta. Okay.
He can go to any jeweler and get any piece of jewelry he wants. He will own this city if he takes them to the big dance. They will throw parties everywhere. There will be concerts everywhere. His picture will be all over the city if he takes them to the playoffs, and he has been good for doing that. And now he got it. He has a young cast around him, right? He'll be good for doing that. Now, is he overrated? Yeah, because they celebrate that signing as if they just got, you know, Peyton Manning.
Overall draft pick.
Yeah. they celebrate it as if he was, you know, this is about to explode. Now, it'll be better than it was.
A lot better. Mariota.
It'll be better than it was.
What is his name? Was it Derek? Desmond Ritter.
Mariota. Tyler Heineke, right? Like, it's been a cast of characters in that space, right? And when they picked up Ritter, they picked up Ritter in like the third round, right? Ritter was never supposed to be like the savior, right?
Yeah,
he wasn't supposed to be the savior. After Matt Ryan, it's been a minute since he had a guy.
Who did he have to develop him to sit behind? He really didn't have anybody. So he could have been the savior had he been properly developed. Same thing I said about freaking Justin. Could have been the savior, but who was he sitting behind?
Yo, you know who has the freaking plan and people don't really give them enough credit for it? The Packers. The Packers have the plan, right? Like, they have Brett Favre. They pick up Aaron Rodgers while Brett Favre is still there. They let him sit and learn and pick all that stuff up. As soon as they think, you know, Buddy's too old, it's a big controversy. Everybody's mad. Everybody's upset. But whatever, he leaves. Now Aaron Rodgers is that dude for mad long. Boom. Aaron Rodgers is getting kind of older, right? You see the incoming. You go get Jordan Love. You bring him in. Aaron Rodgers is upset. He's mad. Right? But when he's old, you kick him out the door. Everybody gets mad. Whatever. Now Jordan Love comes in, take you to the playoffs. They have the formula, right? And other teams don't do that.
It's not even a hard formula.
It's like, not.
I don't understand. I never understood why you get baby, like I said before, not all QBs coming out the draft or whatever are ready to start. But it's okay if you get your QB and let him sit and learn your way. Because that baby QB is coming in knowing his way, the college way, he's only going to know what he's done. Okay, so you need to learn our way. So come here, baby QB, sit behind veteran QB, learn from him, grow from him. Because when you're ready, we don't want no excuses. You're going to get your hind tail out there and you better be spectacular. We're going to throw you out there and do the thing. Not just throwing them out there like you just throwing them out there to the wolves. Just like, good luck. You know, like, the Packers have it done. Even the Bills have done it too. Even though right now Josh Allen doesn't really need, I mean, he is their guy, but mm-hmm. they have somebody sitting behind him as well. And Josh Allen also did sit behind somebody before as well. So it's like there's only a few QBs, baby QBs, who are again ready to just start walking. It's like you throwing it's literally like deers. I think of it like Bambi. You throw Bambi out there and it's like, oh, just go ahead and walk. You figure it out. Good luck. You know, like that's not smart. And sometimes it takes you a little bit longer to figure it out, like Justin Fields and Kenny Pickett and who else has been thrown to the wolves and didn't do as good. You know, it's just like you need a plan. And sometimes
Matt Jones.
Sit him behind somebody who is great. Sit him behind somebody who he can learn from and develop and learn your way, because every team has their way. There's the Patriot way. There's the Packers way. There's the Steelers way. There's the Rams way. So let them learn the way before you throw them out there and then expect them to be great and bring great things to your organization, because that's not going to happen if they don't know. So I agree with that. Packers do have a plan, and it's worked for them over the years. They get the guy who they know can fit their formula. And then what do they do? After we know what guy is going to work. We slot him, we let him sit, we let him develop. And then boom, now he go and he turned up Dak Prescott. Yeah. All right.
Dang, you sneak this Dak Prescott. Good job. Good job.
Oh, okay. Do we have any more overrated?
Dang, he caught it straight. yo, Chase Young with my overrated. Chase Young was my overrated. Now, granted, I can't call him fully overrated because he did get 10 sacks last year. But yeah, he got 10 sacks last year. And I think, you know, that'll be great for us. If he gave us 7, like, we'd be good, right? I ain't gonna lie to you. We'd be great. We'd be very happy with the 7 if he can give us 7. And I think he should be able to question it. I think the thing that is crazy about him is that he comes in with that stuff, right? That neck, not that stuff, but that he comes in with the neck, and the neck issue is a problem. Outside of that, I think the only other person who I would say is going to be overrated a little bit to me, and people are not going to agree with this, is probably T. Higgins, because I don't see T as a one. And he hasn't been signed yet, right? But and right now he's on the franchise tag. And
there's another one that hasn't been signed. Is it Jarvis Landry? No.
Jarvis Landry is going crazy on Twitter, yo.
Right?
Have you seen him?
How can they get signed before me?
Right.
Listen, Jarvis, we don't know, babes.
Yes, we do. Bro, you slow. Like, okay. Not okay. You're not as fast. You were never fast, right? You were never fast, but you always had that ability to separate and that juice. Everybody called him juice because he always had a little bit of extra juice. Now,
So again, what I said was Josh Jacobs was overrated. Why you don't think that Jarvis Landry would have been a better piece to that puzzle? With like they already got they don't need a running game. Never mind.
I think they do. The Packers. They live and die. They love their running game. Even when Aaron Jones went down, right? AJ Dillon came in and they rolled basically. He's not fast at all. He's big and slow. But I mean, he's slow in comparison, right? But they love their running game.
More, I mean, this season they haven't been loving it as much. And Jordan Love is a thrower. He got a nice arm on him. So maybe he's changing it up a little bit. So like, would it not make more sense to get, I guess he said, we don't want nobody slow. So in case we do got to go back to the running game, we need you to pew, pew, pew. Like we need you to be more like a cat. Just take off. Like
Jarvis is not fast. And when he was playing with us last time, he was playing with the Saints last time. Right. And I love Jarvis Landry, by the way.
Sure. After you should have led with that. You slow, bro. What?
Don't you got to be honest with the people you love?
Yeah, that was not a straight. That wasn't a straight. That was a full blown. I'm aim it, fire. Like, okay.
Just keep it a buck. You're not fast. I don't know how to say you're slow in a different way, right? However, he used to have that little thing where he can like break away from people and really separate, right? And as he was playing with the Saints, not last year but the year before, right? You got a chance to see that he couldn't separate as well. He could still catch really well, but he couldn't separate as well. And he was still coming off of injury, so maybe he's now fully healed and he wants a shot, right? I think he could still get a shot, right? He could still get a workout. He should show up to LSU's pro day. And that's how Cam Newton gets his second and third shots, right? You show up to these pro days randomly, and while the young kids are trying to make their money, you over there trying to make yours too, right?
I'm about to be out here. But you know, if you say he's slow, he might not want to go out
there. Go out there, man. Look, there's still maybe there may be something, right? Like
I was getting the gym. I don't know.
Good luck to you, bro.
Yo, that's funny, but I mean, dang. Yeah. You know what else is funny? The trouble that's in Chicago already. Like he ain't even got there in the trouble already. What? Play that clip, man.
Yes, ma'am.
Building. I feel like it's one of those things where it's like you can't, like you said, you can't bring that Hollywood stuff into the building, especially now with guys who play this game. I feel like at a high level for consecutive years in the league. It's just something that guys like myself, guys like Jermaine, TJ, I mean, just the vets now, Keenan Allen, I mean, you just adding certain guys in the locker room. I feel like we're gonna see through, and it's like, nah, that what you did in college, the Hollywood, it's like, nah, that you got to prove yourself. That stuff.
Yo, what you think?
He said, I may tell you a joke, but I ain't gonna tell you a lie.
What you think?
Yo, you know it's crazy when they don't even like you yet. You ain't even get there yet. They don't even like you, bro. Wait,
what? I'm not gonna say he don't. Okay.
No, I'm not saying he don't like him. I'm not gonna say.
Okay.
He.
Okay.
But I do see what he's saying. I do see what he's saying. You can't just walk up in here and you know you think that you again. I'm the cop. You know, like, nah, bro, you got to prove yourself here or we're going to let you get sacked. So, you know, I mean, I think his teammates in college also showed him that because I watched him a few times and he was in the dirt. So mm-hmm. I don't know if he's just like not a likable. I personally am not a fan. So I don't know if he's just not a likable person or what, but
I can't. That's a good thing.
You cannot be a cancer in the locker room for sure, especially as a newbie. You know,
I can't call him a locker room cancer. I've seen it two ways, right? And I think you've seen the same thing because I know you're up on all the drama in sports. Like, you know, normally if something pop off, you on it, right? So I'm pretty sure you heard that when UFC had their bowl game and he wasn't playing and their backup quarterback, you know, threw for, I think, what, 5-6 touchdowns or something, right? And Caleb Williams was there. One of the wide receivers yelled out, "We're a team now," right? Mm-hmm. And the "we're a team now," that everybody felt like that was a shot at Caleb Williams. And that's how it was taken. Then you hear stuff like, you know, people talk about him wanting, like, he'll only agree to get drafted by certain teams if he wants, right. if he gets a piece right. of the team, right? Which has not been validated. That's been stated, but not validated, and nobody has.
But he has said before that something about he has said something about the draft before. Like he doesn't his decision to go into the original. I think it was like his decision to go into the draft is going to depend on like who is the number one seed, like who's the number one overall. So I mean,
yeah. Okay.
We knew it was Chicago for a minute. So I mean, you kind of did those shots at them. You did. You did, my brother. You know, so it's like, you know, I get it. And that's maybe why he's not a likable person. But again, if your locker room and college doesn't even like you, like, bro, like, you're not, and this another quarterback that I love, a whole nerd dear to my heart. He's not a Michael Penix Jr. He's a junior, right? Yeah, he's not one of them. Michael Penix is a locker room favorite, good community guy. Like I can brag and brag on this man. You don't hear the trouble of the works coming out of him and things like that. Even if we want to say, okay, we don't want to talk about Michael Penix, let's talk about somebody else that's higher up on the draft. I never heard any negative or anybody say anything about Jaden Daniels. I've never heard anything negative about Drake May. These are players that, like, at the end of the day, if you are cocky and whatever, keep that to yourself. When you're in front of the media, you know you have to go and play against these players and play with these players. Like these are supposed to be your family. Keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. Okay? You don't like, or you know what? Go ahead and expose yourself. But your treatment in return is not going to be what you're looking for. You're not going to be, you're not going to come in there and be Hollywood and you're going to be the superstar and all this other stuff. Because at the end of the day, people forget that you have teammates for a reason. Your offensive line helps you or breaks you. You get what I'm saying? Like, you'll end up in the dirt more often than not. Like, they will teach you a lesson because it's football. And, like, we're not going to act like football players don't be doing that. You piss them off in the right way, you're going to pay for it.
That's what happened to Shador. If we keep it a buck, like, that's what happened. Yeah. That's exactly what happened to Shador. So, Deion came out and, oh, go ahead.
No, I'm listening.
No, that okay. Shador was sacked about 52 times, right? They ain't that bad.
No, but
they,
for real,
they ain't that horrible. Nah, it ain't that bad. What happened was Daddy Deion came out and said, "Hey, look, son, we're gonna get you some new pieces next year." But he said it in the middle of the season, right? And
so that just signifies that you're talking like you don't like us or something. What you saying to your dad, bro?
Right.
We got something for you, bro. Don't worry.
He said, "Hey, man, we're gonna get you some new guys next season. You know, we're gonna make sure we get some new pieces." And you said that like we got like 6 more games to play. You feel what I'm saying? Your son's about to get murdered back there, basically, and that's exactly what happened. And I'm not gonna say Caleb is a locker room cancer. I can't give that to that young man at this phase. I'm gonna tell you why. I've seen him interact with Brendan Rice, who's one of his teammates, who absolutely loves him, by the way. I've seen him at the combine. If you go to the combine and you watch the film of him being with the reporters and taking a mic and talking to, you know, his guy, he's extremely confident, I'll tell you that. And he also knows that he is not he also knows he's that guy right now, right? He's the number one pick, and he don't really got to worry about that, for real, for real. He's the number one pick. And he's done some stuff that people could consider diva, but it's still questionable. One, he's not sharing his medical records with everybody because everybody's not good enough to take him. Deion did stuff like that, right? Stuff where, hey, look, we ain't got to talk, really, because you're not up here in the draft and ain't nothing for us to talk about. He's probably not going to take visits from teams outside of, like, the top three or something like that, right? Because he knows that he's going that high, and he don't want to waste his time, basically.
He knows he's going to the dump.
He knows he's drafted, basically. He's already drafted, right? When the wide receiver from your upcoming team comes to your pro day, right, that's your team. And this is Jalen talking about him because he knows he's the guy. Everybody knows he's getting drafted. When we got to – the draft don't even start till pick number three at this point, right? Because everybody knows what's happening at pick number one. I feel
like it's like that all the time. Like, majority of the time, you know you're number one. You know you're number two. You definitely know your ones and your twos. For a Fendi fact, you know your ones and your twos most often. I feel like the past couple drafts, we've seen it where we've known the first two or maybe three coming off the board. And we, you know, if you even talk about it, like even in the mock drafts and stuff like that, you already know. And I feel like they already know when it comes to like the middle toward the end probably of their senior season when they declare for a draft or whatever. So yeah, we're not worried about that. However, and I get what you're saying. Like, you can't label him that. I mean, we're not in the locker room, so we can't say, we can say allegedly he is a cancerous in the locker room. But I feel like if you have, I get it. Being confidence, but there's a thin line between confidence and cockiness. And at the end of the day, be confident and shut up. Just be confident and shut up.
I have a theory on why they're doing this to this young man. And I think it goes like this. For every other quarterback at the top of the draft, you have a clear and obvious flaw, right? Like, for Drake May, he had a bad year throwing the ball. Like, there's obvious flaws in his game, and you can see him and you can talk about him all day. For Jaden Daniels, he's this big, right? Like, he is tall, he is fast, but he's mad small. So that's his thing. He's skinny, right? For Caleb Williams, you have a only football thing you can say is sometimes he plays out of rhythm of the offense, right? And like, he's always looking for the big play. Somebody can say that as a criticism, but if you're really searching for another criticism, the other one is this thing where, okay, he's too cocky, right? He's too arrogant.
I mean, how fast was he topping everything for the what's it called, the combine?
For the combine, Drake.
Obviously, we know he's going to get the number one overall rating, but like, he wasn't.
You won't know. Caleb didn't do anything at the combine except walk around and talk.
Thank you. Exactly. So. Again, you think that, again, thinking that it really doesn't matter if you're gonna go number one or not. Go out there and be a team player. Like, everybody, and I feel this way. This is just how I feel about anybody. It doesn't matter if you're going one or 152. I don't know. Go out there and just be a team player. It does not hurt to be. Yeah, you can be. Go ahead and be with the community because you want to talk to them or whatever, but the community is not who you're playing with. Those are not going to be the people that's going to be behind you 110%, who's going to have your back no matter what, who's going to look after you, who's going to protect you. Those are the people that's on the field with you. Just go be a freaking team player. It doesn't matter. Like, yeah, he did his pro day, and he was out there, did a little bit of this and that, and that's cool and everything, but you could have just did the combine and just went out there, did a little bit of something. You could have did one of the multiple. Like, are you slow for real? We don't know if you're slow or not, because what are you doing? Like, what are you doing, bro? But and it reminds me of, and again, I love me some Kyler Murray, but it reminds me of Kyler Murray when it was Kyler Murray's time. It reminds me of that. And now look at that. Like, now everybody's like, won't feel bad for him. Let people get to know you and get to love you for who you are. Don't make people hate you. Like, yeah, of course, they say, like, you're either going to be loved or hated. But in the world of football, let them love you. Because the more love you have, the easier your life the easier it will be. You get what I'm saying? Because look at Kyler. That's all I got to say on that. That's all I got to say on there. This show has been going on long. It's been nice and long.
That was perfect. That was perfect. That is a perfect comparison to a kid who's immensely talented, right? Mm-hmm. And who has rubbed people the wrong way and has paid for it, right? And Caleb doesn't strike me as a, you know, as Kyler Murray, but he could, and you had the perfect comparison. Wow. Wow. Great warning. Great. Don't be Kyler Murray.
I'm just saying, Kyler, I love you, baby Yoda, but yeah, you
great
you
work. Great you work.
That one. Yeah. We did not thank our sponsor, though. We always have to thank the Ozell brand. Obviously, it's not our brand. It's our lifestyle. Let's run that clip real back. And then when we come back, we're going to give our goodbyes.
Yes, ma'am.
It's not just about the love of the game. It's about dedication and commitment through the process and the patience to endure. There's joy in reaching your goals and peace and knowing you've done all you're supposed to do. Ozell Brand. It's not just a brand, it's a lifestyle.
As y'all know, we like to wrap it up with our final thoughts. I'm going to let Dr. Speck go ahead and give out his final thoughts before we head up on out of here.
Yo, follow Dez on TikTok. She's killing it on TikTok every day. She's dropping hot videos. So it's at PG Love Sports, right?
Correct. So, on all social media platforms.
On all social media platforms, follow at PG Love Sports. You're gonna get hot videos from there. Subscribe to the channel. We're dropping stuff every day, right? All these details. We pull opinions from all analysts, right? Then we give our opinions on top of that. We're working hard on these videos, y'all. So show us some love on the video, straight up.
Check the video. Thank you.
Yo, yeah, we out there, yo. So yeah, that and plus, last thing, man, just shout out to the whole squad, man. Love the whole entire MTNV team, a great family of podcasters, of analysts, of artists, right? So I'm blessed to have an entire team. So shout out to everybody on the MTNV team. God bless y'all. We love y'all and thank y'all for everything y'all do for the brand.
All right. Well, my final thoughts on all of that is thanks for all the stuff that you just threw out there. Make sure that you're liking, sharing, and subscribing this show in particular. We are looking for more viewership, more followers, and we are going to be looking for sponsors. So if you want to sponsor me, pretty girl, and Dr. Speck over there, you know what you're going to get because you watched this show. So be sure to look out for our sponsorship emails and texts. But nah, we love football. We love all things football. Again, thank you so much for watching the Pretty Spectacular Football Show, and we will see you guys on our next live broadcast. Peace out.